Five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome to Truth Beer in Pod Sequences. This is the show where we listen to all the Cincinnati craft beer podcasts come together and give our version of how those podcasts went. Hopefully there aren't too many consequences from the hosts of the other shows when we, you know, kind of maybe misunderstood or intentionally misunderstand some of the things that happened in the show. My name is Marco. I'm a brewer and my typical and fantastic co-host is with me.
And I am Julia, and I like to do random parodies of popular songs and some not-so-popular songs during Beer Vent. Marco, today's a very special day.
It is.
We good?
Before we get into why today is so special, I'm going to go ahead and tick off all of the little boxes that we have for our intro. I want to thank our podcast host, BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, for being a fantastic host and also smelling so fresh.
And so clean.
Yes, and today, as you mentioned, very special day as we head towards the big holiday coming up. It was very, very cool that we were getting to get together with some of our friends. And so, friends, introduce yourselves. I'm going to point to friend number one and let them introduce themselves.
I'm the gnarly gnome. I drink beer.
All right. It's 100% accurate.
Hey, yeah. There you go. That's all it takes, I guess.
A lot of beer.
And friend number two?
I am John. I'm one of the brewers here in Cincinnati, and I like to have shower beers and sing in the shower.
Excellent.
Oh, excellent.
I like it.
Do you have a shakuli or shakuzi? Is it shakuzi? I think they're called shakuzis.
You said shakuzi.
Yes. I have a the Yeti.
Okay, so there is an actual brand that is designed for the shower. Comes with a landing pad that you attach to the wall, and then the koozie sticks right to that.
I just put it on the shelf.
Yeah, see, this does not take up any of your important shelf space for your shampoos and all those other
face
things
washes.
That my wife has. I don't know what all that stuff is in there, but there's all kinds of bottles of crap.
Who cares about that?
Girls like bottles of stuff.
Just put the beer in the shower. Yeah.
Well, you got to have somewhere to put it. I mean, you can't, you know, do everything with a beer in your hand.
It's true.
It's very true. So while none of these are shower beers, we all have glasses of various drinks in front of us.
You don't know if one of us isn't going to start showering during the show.
Right.
This is an excellent point.
They're not currently shower beers, but they could become
at any second.
So, Julia, why don't you tell us what you're drinking? And, of course, wouldn't be a beer podcast without beer and maybe something else.
Yeah, you never know here. I am drinking a Spice Baby Winter Warmer from Butcher and the Brewer, and it is very good and very reminiscent of the season. John, what do you have?
I'm drinking on a local Rheingeist crumb cake.
Nice.
Red Ale, Imperial, 7%. Very delicious.
Good
awesome.
Deal. No?
So I went with this beer called Ohio Challenge from Warped Wing. Said it was a coffee brown ale, but I get like all kinds of chocolate and stuff going on too. It's really delicious. I'm looking it up right now to see if there's anything. Okay. Coffee chocolate stout brewed specifically for the 2021 Ohio Balloon Glow at Smith Park in Middletown.
Very cool.
It's delicious. It's amazing. I like Warped Wing a lot, what they're doing, and excited to have them come down to be part of what we've got going on down here in Cincinnati.
I'm excited as well. Can't wait.
So, Marco, your glass looks a little different than usual, so fill us in.
I have a wine. I have a red wine.
All right.
And the reason I have a red wine is I came in a few minutes before you, Julia, and Kenny looked at me and said, "How about a glass of wine?" I said, okay. So I have a glass of wine. I will be transitioning from wine to beer. I expect, it's up to me, so that will happen, but hey, it's holiday season. I'll have a glass of wine.
Sounds good. So the point of this show is to talk about Cincinnati-based craft beer podcasts. So I'm assuming everyone has listened to at least one of those this week at the table?
I have.
All right.
I've listened to one of them last week, too.
This is true. With the timing, the way that these things go. Before we get into the Cincinnati podcast, I did want to give a quick shout out to our friends up north in Canada land, to the Newburgh Report. Yes. They're always giving us props, giving us credit, and we like to do the same thing back. They did say that they wanted us to do not necessarily a burp count for them, but they wanted us to go back in time to one of their most off-the-rail episodes. It was a mini-episode that they put out, episode 16.5, surprise episode Mother Truckers. They wanted an F-bomb count because they said, it's going to be good. So I did. I went back and listened. It's about a 25-minute episode. And the Newbert Report brought it, with the help of the name of one of the beers that they were drinking, 34 F-bombs in under 25 minutes.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean, so good fucking job, guys.
Way to bring it.
Way to bring it.
That'll definitely get you kicked off PBS.
It really will. Yeah. It really will. It's a good thing that they're not on any of the U.S. networks otherwise.
That's right. That's why you don't see Samuel L. Jackson on PBS.
All right. So, Newbert, thank you so much for all the respect you give us. It's right back at you. And so now that we're moving on to Cincinnati stuff, let's get ready to podcast. So we have four podcasts to go over today. We have a new podcast. There are probably going to be a couple episodes of this podcast here and there that we get to talk about as they touch on Cincinnati craft beer. We have Jungle Jim's podcast, where they talked about the 50 West Jungle Jim's collaboration IPA. We have Cincy Brewcast, where Gnome and some friends talked about the newest Streetside collaboration, Socially Influenced. And then Saunder Stories, Chapter 82 with Coach Bip. And we will round up the night with one of the most fun podcasts in the Cincinnati area, Shift Beers, where they have no idea what they're talking about this week.
A little bit of a loss. You can hear the exhaustion in the... Yeah. Not just in the podcast, but in the fact that they had to apologize about actually publishing it later than usual.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yes. Hey, as we always say, family jobs, life comes first. It is.
Unless you're Truth Beer Pod, and we bring it.
All the time. All the time. No slacking here.
No. So what do we want to start with? We want to have...
Yeah, let's have one
guess,
of our guests pick.
Guess,
yeah,
I mean, guest pick?
Yeah.
We'll end with Shift Beers. Okay. Guest pick, John. Guest John. Pick a show.
Let's do Saunder Stories.
Hey, right. No, forget it. Okay, John picks Saunder Stories, so let's go to it.
All right, Chapter 82 with Coach Bip. Justin, Danny, Chad, and Coach Bip were on this episode, and Coach Bip is their Warren County sales rep. He did start as one of their delivery drivers and has moved very far up in the Saunder world, and this is his first time with a full beard.
Yeah, he goes into why. And it was because he was a golf pro.
Yeah.
And I guess golf pros don't have beards. I didn't know that was the thing. I guess they talked about it like it was, you know, like you're on the Yankees or something. Like, no facial hair. Like, what are you doing here? Oh, you can't golf with a beard. Like, I don't,
right.
I don't
it's,
get
it's,
it.
It's, I don't know. But golf is always polo shirts, khakis. It's always a very professional-looking sport, no matter how casual the people are that are golfing.
It's very odd to me. I've never really understood that. I don't know with the beard thing. I don't know how that factors into it. I don't know if it's just trying to keep you from looking like a beatnik or if it's an aerodynamics thing, but I don't know.
They're,
I don't know.
They're not chasing the ball. Why would the golfers need to be aerodynamics?
I chase a lot of balls when I golf.
I don't understand either. Maybe it dates back to Scotland. Like, I can't trust you if you have facial hair.
There is no way that if we trace golf back to its origins in Scotland, that there were those guys that invented it did not have beards.
Correct.
Right. There's no way.
There's no way.
So it has to be somewhere in between then and now where this happened. And I think I blame America. I think that we ruined it.
Yeah, we tend to do that.
I think there were a bunch of stuffy white guys at some point in our history that said, "You know what? We got to keep all these yahoos off of our golf course.
Right?
We don't want our wives here. We don't want all of those those hippies down. I guess they weren't hippies at the time, but all those those yahoos down that are hanging out down at the bar. We don't want them involved. We gotta come up with some kind of rules here.
Yeah.
I think that you're probably on the right track there.
Stuffy white guys ruined everything.
Yeah. John, agree?
Yeah. I just get drunk and drive the golf course. I don't golf.
That's the way to do it. We did golfing for a little bit of time in high school. My divots went farther than the balls ever did. And that's kind of where I left it.
I was a little disappointed. I didn't get more information on the Coach Bip episode on why he's Bip.
They said they were going to talk about that, but then they didn't. So yeah. false advertising.
So they're going to have to have him back on the show?
Yeah, I don't know the story.
Have to clean up some loose ends there?
Yeah. They did release that Coconut Tears is coming back.
Yeah, that's a really good beer.
That is a very good one.
Coconut Tears, yeah.
That's a very good one.
Who asked you, John?
Outside.
No, I'm joking.
You invited me on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I mean, Marco, please technically.
Please participate, please.
Yes.
Yeah, you texted me all the right episodes, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
He invites us because during the show, we're supposed to get up and bring them beers. That's why we're here.
Yeah,
we're
We don't have to move. Yeah.
I'm prepared.
Yeah, John brought us a mixed six-pack of two Fretboard beers, Zombie Zoo and The Bright Side of Life, and then two cans of a hard seltzer called...
Happy Dad.
Yeah, so... Okay. Yeah, so we'll definitely be breaking into those. After we all finish what we currently have in our glasses.
Yeah. We're letting them come to room temperature, so they're perfect.
which is the way that you drink IPAs and seltzers. I mean, yeah. it's fine.
So, that's great. Now, thank you, John, for that. Truly appreciate it. And please do interject whenever you have the space to interject.
Okay, I'm going to interject.
Not right now. Wait your turn, bud.
Did you get one of the funny sayings they were talking about on Shift Beer? Or not Shift Beer, Sonder Stories.
Funny sayings?
Yeah.
Elaborate, maybe.
Something about tuxedos. I enjoyed it.
I think I missed it.
I remember tuxedos, and now I'm trying to remember where in the episode it was. Well, if I have anything written down about it.
I'm a big fan of Step Brothers. I got the reference straight away.
Gotcha.
I thought it was great.
Okay.
The tuxedos seem kind of weird now. Like it's real subtle. Like, you had to be a fan of the movie, and I'm... huge movie guy, so I thought it was very nice touch.
Well, now I feel bad that I'm
Hey, Sonder Stories, good job reaching John with your
loved it
with your references.
As long as the episode reaches one person, that's all it takes. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but that's fun. That's fun, and I think even we did that make it on air where Chris, when he was with us.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about some of the references that he tries to put in his shows and I try to put in our show.
Well, when I released the kind of mini episode with just us and Chris, I didn't cut out any of the conversation. So if he said it, it was there.
Yeah, so it's one of those things for us. Noam, I don't know if any of that comes up on yours because yours is a little more long form sort of dialogue type stuff. Mm-hmm. But they're little Easter eggs, nuggets, or little hidden gems that we, if you listen to the same things we listen to, that kind of you kind of get.
Yeah.
Right.
But those are fun. So, Sonder, good job.
Yeah, very good job. One of the things that I thought was really neat about the conversation that they had during this episode were the different drinking experiences that they all like to have. Specifically, Danny, how he said he likes to go to a bar, bottle shop, something like that, and just sometimes just sit on his own and drink, just kind of watch people feel like he's being social without having to actually interact with anyone. And I'm with that 100%. I love interacting with people. I love hanging out with people. But that's what I do a lot of Fridays. I'll go to Higher Gravity or Westside or somewhere. And especially at Westside when they're busier, I'll get my beer and I'll just sit by one of the windows and just drink and watch people, the world go by. Yeah.
There's also very different tap rooms for me. That, like, if I do want a more social experience, I might go to tap room A.
True.
But if I want to kind of sit by myself in a quiet corner, I might go to tap room B.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to play some kind of, cornhole or something like that, I might go to tap room C.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
If I want to drink crappy beer, I might go to tap room D. Like,
If I want to actually interact, I typically will go to, like, Higher Gravity and just harass Nick or whoever's, bartending for the night. Like, hey, I'm going to sit up here and talk to you until someone random sits by me at the bar and I start talking to them. So,
Different experiences, though, around drinking that you, or at least I, am constantly searching out and trying to fill.
I do want to say that in earlier episodes, Danny did mention that he would stop on Fridays with a book to BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, Danny, I apologize if our shenanigans have run you off or away from BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery on Friday evenings, because it's been a few Fridays since I've seen you, buddy. I have that effect on people.
Yeah.
At times.
At times. I was going to say, I keep coming back, but
Yeah. Well,
I also have a little more invested in this than Danny might.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
John?
I like both. I like drinking with people, and then I like drinking alone. I get a lot of work done.
Yeah,
a lot
with
of recipes
nobody
done.
Else.
That's right. I drink alone.
When you guys are going out, do you have that in your head ahead of time of what kind of experience you're hoping to get out of your drinking experience, or does it just happen when you walk in? Like, oh, tonight's going to be this kind of night.
A bit of both. It kind of depends. There's some nights where I'm like, I want to go out. I want to have a draft beer, not open up a can
right at
home, and I want to just kind of be able to just sort of sit with my own thoughts and just kind of watch what's happening around me. So a lot of times when that happens, I'll go to Westside, or I'll, you know, go to one of the places that I know is going to be a bit busier
right at
the time frame that I'm walking in. But other times, if I am just like, I feel like I don't know what I want to drink. I don't know if I want something from this specific brewery. So I get a, you know, higher gravity or wherever I happen to end up. If it's really busy, I might tend to stay to myself a little more, where if there aren't a lot of people there yet, I'll go up to the bar and I'll try to strike up a conversation, or, you know, not force my social presence on anyone, but
right just,
you know, see what the environment does, where it takes me.
John?
After high school, like, no one wants to hang out anymore, so it's hard to get people together and drink socially, other than holidays.
I do think that that's true. I do think that there has been kind of a shift, and, you know, kind of COVID aside, to where people don't hang out the same way that they used to. Yeah.
COVID changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I hung out with John and a couple of his friends from Cincy State a couple of times over the COVID-ness.
Yeah.
And
they throw down?
They do it.
Professionals.
Last thing I kind of wanted to touch on that I had notes on for Sonder Stories were their alter egos. If they're going to a brewery or going somewhere out of town where people probably don't know them, sometimes they're not who they truly are. And
that was
a lot of fun.
That was hilarious.
It was interesting that they all were like, oh, yeah, I, of course I did that. Like, people do that?
I mean, right,
says the guy who's named after a gnome. But
is it a specific gnome that you're named after? Or just
it is, actually.
Yeah,
is it? Okay. Yeah, there is a specific gnome. The first gnome that I had.
Okay.
His name is actually Larry. Larry the lawn gnome.
Oh, my God. You just mentioned your real name.
Oh, that's his name.
Well, but you said
I guess
after.
I'm named after his alter ego.
Yeah, maybe when I was 16, growing up just near New Orleans, and it was legal to drink at 18, so we would sneak into bars on Bourbon Street. We'd come up with like an alternative sort of story, but no, not since I was of age. Like, I don't pretend to be anybody that I'm not, unless I'm on Truth, Beer, and Podsequences.
I think that. I don't think I've ever really pretended to be somebody that I'm not. There's definitely different parts of my personality that have come out in different situations and that I will lean into. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever pretended to be somebody that I'm not.
Yeah. So you've never been an Olympic swimmer from Texas?
No, okay. Definitely not.
All right.
No.
Well, maybe that's a thing, and John can speak to this as the resident youngest. Maybe it's a thing with the social media age where, as you're coming of age, there may be a need to not have people find you so easily. I mean,
anonymity.
We're getting to the point where on business cards, people are maybe just putting a first name, because you can find anybody if you just give me your name.
Yeah.
And then I can see the pictures of your kids. I can, you know, find out what you do for a living.
Right.
I can how many ex-wives you've had.
Doesn't that make faking an alter ego a little more difficult now, though, too?
Not necessarily.
Because if you say you're an Olympic swimmer, like, and I'm sitting at the bar, I might look that up. Like, I got my phone in my pocket now.
Insta.
Hey,
yeah, like,
hey,
Instagram.
Buddy, go ahead.
Easy to do. I have a Finsta account for beer.
Well,
alter ego.
There you go.
Yeah.
No one knows.
But then I guess that involves a whole lot of pre-planning, where it sounded like what they were talking about on Sonder Stories, it was a much more in the moment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, hey, you know, what's your name? Oh, I'm you know, Frank from Texas. Like, it wasn't a planned out, or it wasn't as planned out.
Yeah, my neighbor does that all the time. He's a radio star from way back in the day.
Radio star?
Yeah, he was in Wichita. And he quit. Well, and then
I guess this is more normal than I thought it was.
I guess.
He's told people he worked for NASA, and he's been on the International Space Station. Like, off the wall crazy stories.
Okay.
I can't tell when he's lying anymore. Like, I have no idea.
I have friends like that.
It's really fun to drink with them.
Excuse me. I have people I know like that. To call them friends is incorrect. Yes.
It's called Truth, Beer, and Podsequences.
Moving on.
Well, did anyone have anything else about Sonder stories that they wanted to throw out? I thought it was as always, they're always good episodes. I like the structure that they have, and you always find out fun stuff about everyone, new things about everyone on the show every single week.
I'm glad that we are now out of the four-part trilogy.
Yes.
Not that I didn't like that, but it should have been all before the anniversary.
Right.
So I'm glad anniversary has finally moved on and we are into some newer episodes.
Yeah.
That's more enjoyable for me.
Yeah. I mean, I would keep getting excited about stuff and I'm like, oh, wait, it's been a month.
Yeah. We're time traveling still.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to podcast number two.
Let's do Jungle Gyms because this was probably my top so far.
All right.
All right, so John, thank you for picking the next podcast. Sorry I stepped over you there on the first one. Picked the Jungle Gyms podcast. If you're searching for it and you type in Jungle Gyms, good luck. The Jungle Gyms podcast. And so this episode was interesting because it was a half wine show, half beer show, kind of like a little bit of what's going on here at the table. The cool thing is they did mark the podcast so you could actually go to where they start talking to 50 West.
Yes.
And so they have a collaboration beer, 50 West, and Jungle Gyms. And this is where we start.
Yeah, so the collaboration beer is Road to the Jungle. It is a juicy IPA, very limited in cans and on draft at both locations. I have no idea if it's still out in the wild.
I assume there's some around, but I haven't been to Jungle Gyms in the last couple weeks. So.
Okay. This episode, if you want to look it up, it aired on December the 8th. And the 50 West segment starts at about the 50-minute mark, so that is where we're going to jump in, because I'll be honest, I did not have time to listen to the entire thing, so I just jumped to the beer.
December 8th, by the way, was a birthday to the special contributor who was the podcast, contributor, Victoria M.
Nice.
That was her birthday.
I was not aware of that. Well, happy birthday, Victoria, and thank you again for sponsoring
the
show.
How can people do that again?
They can donate at an incredibly stupid website that I need to change and fix and figure out some special way of doing that. But right now it is at ko-fi.com/truthbeerpod, but that is spelled ko-fi.com/truthbeerpod. I'm sorry.
I'm lost.
It's okay.
So are we. The only reason I didn't go for something like Patreon or just do a direct PayPal thing was for Patreon, I feel like it is more of a bonus content type of platform,
sure,
which is fine. And just right now, I don't know that Marco and I have the extra time to try to create that extra content, so I would feel bad with putting it on that platform.
Sure.
But if people don't care, maybe we'll switch it over. I don't know yet. But yeah, back to Jungle Gyms and 50 West. They had Scott, Ferdinand, and Max talking with Jungle. Jungle Jim himself was on the show. They were talking about Road to the Jungle, which was brewed with Cara Cara oranges that they got from Jungle Gyms. And that was it. Scott, who had a single orange to try to play
so
around
Bobby
with.
Was there as well.
Yeah, Bobby was there
Bobby
too.
Was, yeah. I apologize.
Bobby took the single orange. Why they had one Cara Cara orange?
Yeah, doesn't Jungle
I have
Gyms?
No idea. Yeah. But they had one
single
Cara Cara orange, and it just got passed around, kind of like a football.
Yeah.
And
well, basically, it was, we think we want this type of orange in the beer, but we only have one. So everyone can just like smell the outside, the brine.
But I think it was Scott said, hey, I've used these before. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, hey, great. Well, then we're good. And so the orange, the Cara Cara orange got passed around, got to Bobby. Bobby took it home and gave it to his daughter.
Who apparently was not worried about the dirt and the grime on the outside of the orange.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not worried about the dirt and the grime. Anyway, so she, you know.
Ate it.
And then Max is like, hey, Bobby.
Can we get that orange back?
How about that orange, bud? And he's like, I don't have it.
I mean, I don't... When you're passing around a single piece of fruit to multiple people, why would you expect that you're going to... Even if you do get it back, what... Do you want it? What are you going to do with this orange that has been, like, manhandled and God
it's
knows
It's an
what?
Orange. You peel it and you eat what's inside. I mean, really.
Also, can't you just go get another one?
That's what I thought. It's like, don't you know somewhere where you can get some more?
I'm sure this international market has another orange.
I would.
Pretty sure.
Apparently, they at least had enough to make the beer.
I just want
to
say, Caracara oranges are delicious. If you get them and they're proper, I mean, they are so good.
I don't think I've ever had a Caracara orange.
I don't know that I have either. It's possible, but I don't know.
Well, if you live near Jungle Gyms.
I do, in theory.
But Hamilton?
Hamilton.
Well, no, you said I moved somewhere else after that.
Yeah, he's going up to Mason. Right by Warped Wing. I don't know.
I bet I could live in that building and they wouldn't find me. It's big enough.
Not for a while, yeah.
Live nice. Right under the fermenters. Good spot.
There you go.
So they get the orange.
Yes.
And they've used it before. They use orange peel. They use orange puree. And then they also use some other goodness, other orange goodness with it, and make this beer.
And they had a good conversation with Jungle about how smelling the beer brings out a lot of the flavor and gives you a much better idea of what the beer actually is than just drinking something out of a can, which is how Jungle typically does it. It sounded like,
yeah, he really brought a lot of I don't know, it was a level setting sort of commentary where they got kind of deep into some of the things, and Jungle was like, how about we just drink, but he was very, very intrigued and was excited about the opportunity to have so much of his vast array of just ridiculously sourced produce turned into some sort of fermented beverage.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, which is, it's a never-ending sort of ingredient list.
Right.
Over the years, Jungle has tried unsuccessfully to figure out a way to get some kind of place that makes a fermented beverage as part of the Jungle Gym store experience, be it a brewery or a winery or something like that. As we all know, Ohio law makes that very difficult, impossible to do unless somebody else is doing it.
Right.
But he has tried many, many times. So it's not surprising that he or they have been keen on collaborating with places over the years to kind of bring some of that personality in somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure since our show is such a niche show, right? Like you have to be interested in some way. Yes, craft beer, but Cincinnati craft beer podcasts and so on and so forth. So if I'm reaching you with the sound of our voice and you have not been to Jungle Gyms, if you are not local to the Cincinnati area, and then you come to Cincinnati and you're going to stay with friends, family, have a trip, it's so worth it to go to one of the Jungle Gyms locations and just walk around. I mean, look, you probably have aimlessly walked around at a mall or something to window shop. Mm-hmm. You walk around and you see so much intriguing things. If you're a person that eats or drinks, then you can find something that is new and exciting to you at Jungle Gyms Market.
Yeah, have a
international
coming.
Market. Yes, excuse me, because they are very sensitive about that.
It doesn't even encapsulate what Jungle Gyms is, though. Like when you walk into the Fairfield store, you walk into a toy store.
Yes,
that's right next to a podcast studio. That is then right next to a cookware store, and then a pet store, and like you're that's even before you get to the first grocery item. And
right.
Like the store is insane, and it is a fun time to.
I have a friend visiting this weekend from Wisconsin, and he doesn't know it, but I'm taking him there, and he's going to be, why are we going to a grocery store? And
yeah.
It'll be fun.
My mom.
A lot of fun.
Shout out to my mom.
Who listens to the podcast.
Listens to the show. She comes in town, has to go to Jungle Gyms. John? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like taking family members from out of town to Jungle Gyms. It's a fun time. Plus, I have
a bar. I have a friend from Minneapolis that they drive in once a quarter to go there. So what else about the Jungle Gyms podcast was... was notable. One of the things that I kind of noticed real fast was there was a very noticeable switch in their, in how they spoke about just kind of the fun stuff about drinking, and then the actual science and digging down into how the beer is made, with the different things that go into making an IPA, different beers, you know, the how smelling it changes things. There was excitement the entire way through the podcast episode, but you could hear when they were geeking out over getting to dive deep into the beer itself and not just talk about, I wish we could drink without, you know, feel like we're getting drunk without having the hangover.
Yeah, and I think what ended up happening was Jungle was getting really in tune to the fact that they were going real beer geek there, and so he's like, "Hey, I got a thing. I got to go do a thing." So about halfway through the show, Jungle just is gone.
It's a very Jungle thing to do, though. He's there. He's not there. He's swooping around the store on a Segway. He's the man, the mystery, legend.
I've seen him on that Segway. I've been there. He's passed me. Oh, and all, not only has Jungle passed me on a Segway, Max, who's on the show, I saw him this past Sunday at a brewery.
Was he on a Segway?
He was not.
That's disappointing.
He was not. He was not on a Segway. I walked into a brewery, sat down with my son, and two seats down, Max was there, and of course I got to say hi. He was with other people, so I didn't bother him to talk about the Jungle Gyms episode and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of pick his brain on some right. of the behind-the-scenes things that maybe I could take and twist and turn into non-truths for Truth Beer and Pod. But nonetheless, how many of you sat two seats away from Max last week?
I did not
either.
No.
Oh, good. Thank you, John. That's an excellent contribution. So it's so worth it, that just that contribution for you to be here. Excellent.
I liked how they talked about the research and mm-hmm. the science behind the beer and yeast. I thought that was super interesting.
I really liked the part where they went into the flavors that you should not get in
chocolate.
Your beer. Green apple.
Yeah.
Green apple Jolly Rancher, yeah.
Yep. That's a big off flavor. Huge off flavor.
Was it Mad Tree that did a series a while back about like flavors in beers?
They did a bunch of classes, a bunch of off flavor classes that anybody could sign up for that were fantastic.
Yeah, if they do that again, I definitely
I will say, saying that you don't want it in beer. Some of us enjoy some of those flavors and may enjoy them in beer.
Certain stuff.
Hose water. Somebody makes a hose water beer, I would totally drink it. Don't remember the chemical compound that makes hose water, but
and then
pretty
there's
tasty.
There's other beers too where there are exceptions to the rule, right?
Sure. Like especially now we get people that are, you know, you were going to go somewhere else but there are people making apple beers that have green apple in them. And you first drink it, and it tastes like it's got an off flavor, but it's intentional. It's supposed to be there.
Yeah. Well, where I was going was Pilsner or Kel, which is an really fantastic beer, but there is that diacetyl to it, which if anybody else other than Pilsner or Kel has diacetyl in their Pilsner, you are slaying them just... they're done. They're over. Their brewery is shut, you know, off.
I believe because of that, in the BJCP guidelines, doesn't it say a slight amount of diacetyl is acceptable just because Pilsner Kel has it in theirs? And how can you say that they're wrong?
Probably.
Yeah, there's definitely a few beers like that out there that you try it, and knowing what other people are doing now, you're like, I don't know if that should be there anymore. I think that we've moved past that.
The other thing is, too, I want to say, I don't want anybody to cancel anybody or their beers. It's just the loudest 1% will tend to do some of that stuff. So don't be those people.
Yeah, just get a different beer. Like, if you don't like something, just get a different beer.
Yeah.
If you're able to talk to the brewer and just give them a heads up and say, hey, I tasted this. If you want to know, take it for what it is, but just move on.
Yeah, I did that with not a taste, but a visual with a beer that I got at local brewery. It was canned. This was way pre-COVID. And I knew it was an unfiltered IPA, but I didn't expect like an inch and a half of sediment at the bottom.
Oh, that's
it. And I'm like, I'm sure it's fine, but it just you know, it's kind of off-putting to see when you're pouring the glass. I'm like, so I didn't go out to the craft beer Facebook groups and all that going, this beer's doing this and this. I messaged the brewery and said, hey, just kind of curious. I just want to make sure that that I can drink the rest of these
cans. Did you talk
about
it on the show, or did we talk about that the other day?
We talked about that, I think, at Street Side. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I know that we've spoken about it before, but I can't remember if it was on a previous show or what. It all blends together.
I have so much FOMO.
We hang out FOMO. All the time without Marco.
Yeah, all the time. God. All the time. Damn. Constantly.
A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't message the brewery.
Yeah,
they just go
like
on Untappd and like...
This had this
and
this.
Slash them.
Or they go into the into big beer groups or some other public setting.
Yeah.
And the owner actually reached out and even said, hey, you know, I really appreciate you just kind of asking first instead of just going on.
I'm like, I don't know.
Maybe this is... I've had unfiltered that haven't been this unfiltered. Maybe it's just, I don't know, super unfiltered. But I wanted to check with you before. And even if they did say that, you know, it's completely, no, this is 100% not how it's supposed, to be. I'm not going to then go on Facebook or, you know, wherever and be like, hey, I got this and they confirmed that this isn't how it's supposed to be. So their beer's crap.
Nature of some of these places being small, being extremely manual, I guess is a good way to put it. So a lot of people are hand canning stuff and sometimes stuff doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to. It's kind of part of the fun of it.
His thought was this was probably a six pack that came near the very end of the canning line to where you're getting kind of the bottom of the barrel more or less. And so there was probably just more in it than what would have been in any other six pack. And he was like, if you want, just bring it up. I'll give you, you know, we'll swap it out, whatever. And because I was gracious, I brought up a crowler of a beer that I got when I was working out in Pittsburgh and just was like, hey, just to make sure you know that no hard feelings for any of it, let's share some beer while I'm here.
On the flip side, I had an experience at a brewery in Dayton. We won't name names, but I got a flight, and one of the beers in the flight, I think it was a wit beer, something like that. So a little cloudy, understandable. This thing was terrible. It was like a yeast slurry, and it was disgusting. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him. That's not right. I can't, you know. And I asked the bartender and I said, "Is this what this is supposed to be like?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's fine. That's what it's supposed to be like." And so I just kind of set it aside and was working through my flight. And at one point, somebody came up behind me. Said, "Hey, how was everything, guys?" And I said, "Everything's pretty. You know, it's pretty good." And I said, "Are you your manager? Do you, you know?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm the brewer." And I said, "Perfect. Is this supposed to look like this?" And he looked at it and he said, "Yep, that's what it's supposed to look like." And I said, "Okay."
So all right.
That was when I went to social media. When I said, "Guys, this should not look like this."
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's a line.
That's tough.
There's a line there, and it's just kind of knowing when.
There was a lot of issues at that, but there was the bartenders got in a glitter fight at one point, and there was glitter flying around and it was going in the beers. It was very strange experience. I
mean, sorry for when the mics aren't hot.
I get them mixed up. It was either Star City, Lucky Star. I think it was Lucky Star is the bad one. Star City is the good one, I believe.
Mm, okay.
So, yeah, Lucky Star. Shout out to Lucky Star.
Be careful when doing Google image searches for that.
Okay, well, what else do we have? Do we want to wrap up the Jungle Gems International podcast?
The only other note that I had was Jungle insisted that there be a Truth-type podcast, and I hope to God he doesn't ever find out about Truth Beer and Podsequence.
Yeah, he did mention that. He's like, no, we're just telling the truth here. You know, we're giving him the truth. I'm like, okay.
Boy, we're gonna take your truth and take it around the ringer.
Hold on. So... Well, very good. Why don't we go ahead and take a break?
Glasses are empty.
Let everyone pause for a moment and gear up for the next two podcasts we're going to cover.
Yep.
And we'll be right back.
Don't tell me what to do. Like I said, I'll keep talking if I want to keep talking.
Hey, you know, the floor is yours for as long as the mics are off. When the mics are on, it's our show. Speaking of our show, let's talk about your show.
I have a show. Oh, yeah.
This little thing called Cincy Brewcast, or if you want to be fancy, the
Cincinnati,
Cincinnati Brewcast.
Yeah, try finding that on on your platform. By the way, everybody, so we put it in the show notes, and I know everybody who listens to the show reads all the show notes. Mm-hmm. We put in the show notes that our intro, outro music, the rejoinder stinger, was created by Gnome Creative, which he is here. The Gnome, the gnarly gnome.
Yeah, of course.
The one and only, yeah. So, we wouldn't be here without, we would have really bad intro, outro music if it wasn't for for you.
You would have something different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be me singing in the shower.
Yeah, John's in the shower 5, 4,
singing about a shoe.
Oh, yeah.
John's singing in the shower.
So speaking of John, he brought, as we mentioned earlier in the show, a six-pack of, well, mixed six-pack, 2 fretboard beers and 2 seltzers. So, John, you want to let us know what we are starting out with?
What are we having, John?
Yeah, we're drinking a double IPA, Zombie Zoo.
Very good beer.
Fretboard. Very potent in hops. Yes. Very delicious.
Yes, it is.
Kind of cold right now.
Hey, you drink IPAs at room temperature. Everybody knows this.
John, thank you. I have actually had this beer before, and thank you for bringing this beer because I really enjoy this beer.
Yeah, haven't had it in quite a long time, but this is awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Matter of fact, the last time I had this beer might have been when you and I were at Fretboard, Julia.
Mm-hmm. For one of their podcast nights, which sadly they don't do anymore. Hopefully they'll come back at some point.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I felt like we did bring on a Monday night. Not we, Truth Beer Pod, but because we were never part of the on stage.
Let's be honest, though. If you guys talk about all of the Cincinnati beer podcasts, and there were Cincinnati beer podcasts doing those podcast nights, you guys were kind of the glue that held it all together.
You know what? You're right. We are the glue that holds the Cincinnati craft beer podcasting community together. If it wasn't for us, there'd be no reason for...
Everybody would stop.
For everyone to... Yeah, yeah.
I truly appreciate you just... telling us to stop selling ourselves short.
That's right.
Thank you so much. But those were fun, and maybe they'll come back around. It's a great beer as we go into talking about Cincy Brewcast. And so Cincy Brewcast this week was about beer release with Streetside.
Sort of. We kind of went off the rails pretty quick about it.
Go ahead and talk about it.
For anybody who doesn't know about Cincy Brewcast, it's a very free-form show. There are lots of notes that go into making the show happen, but very quickly we just kind of lose track of everything and start talking about something random, usually.
So
this and this no episode exception. Was, yeah, it was a perfect example of that.
So you had, it was yourself, of course, as the host, the moderator, and then you had Garrett from Streetside, right. Who is co-owner/... head brewer or
director of brewing operations.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at one point you did have Craft Beer Joe.
Hoping he would get us back on track. He did not.
Yeah,
we were too far gone at that point. He just kind of threw up his arms and opened up a beer and said to hell with it.
Yeah. It was still a really fun show. I kind of liked the free flow. You did talk in the beginning for maybe 2-3 minutes about socially influenced, which was the collaboration beer with about 12 or so of the Cincinnati, and I say like with air quotes, social influencers, bloggers,
Instagrammers,
podcasters, Instagrammers. I mean, anything that has a social presence, they were involved with this. Everyone from Craft Beer Joe, yourself, Diamond from Beer Is Not for Boys was involved. It was a really good group. Cincy by the Pine. It was a really good group of people to come together to make a imperial brown ale or a pastry brown ale, as they have on the can.
I kind of hate that it's called a pastry brown ale because I feel like it gives it this impression that the beer is not. It's a big, big, giant brown ale, 9.5%. There's some maple in it and some cinnamon in it, but I don't think that makes it a pastry beer. And
I think that if there was lactose, vanilla, a lot of other more, I know that maple syrup is all sugar, but more sugary type ingredients, that pastry label probably would have made sense. But
I know when we use honey, I mean, certainly it's not all fermentable. John, do you, with your extensive education in brewing, how much of maple is fermentable?
Oh, that's a good question. I have no idea.
I'm
not going to act like I know everything.
Well, but don't. I don't want you to act like you know.
I'm sure it varies depending on the maple syrup itself, too.
Yeah, like the different grades and all that.
Yeah, probably the different strains of maples. Mm-hmm. Part of region.
Yeah,
from
the,
Canada,
the maples.
Where coming from.
The maple strains.
I don't know.
I also don't know that this was maple syrup dumped inside of a beer, just for the record.
Well, for sure, right?
Well, the...
You know.
Not to ruin anything.
There's some ways to accomplish that without actually having maple syrup.
So there was also a lot of talk pre-release, I'm not sure how much post-release, about with waffles or like waffles, yes. this and this.
All right.
But none of the ingredients that you mentioned have been waffles.
Yeah.
Can you explain this to us?
I can't. That was after. So I was present for the brew day. Mm-hmm. The brew day.
Garrett wasn't, but you were.
Garrett wasn't. John Ewers made a incredible, big, giant brown beer that was about 9.5%. From there, it went into a fermenter, and they kind of rolled with the rest of it.
So
what we had discussed before that was that the concept for the beer was a brown butter waffle brown ale.
Oh, bleh.
That was our vision for this beer.
Okay.
In between that and drinking it, I cannot guarantee what all happened. I never saw any large boxes of waffles enter the brewery. No,
but it doesn't mean that there weren't.
There probably weren't. There weren't.
Either way, it was.
Although it was
delicious.
It says it on the label, so I think I'm supposed to legally say that there were waffles in it. I think.
Did you sign anything?
You can't.
I didn't.
You cannot have waffles.
I signed,
by the way, you can't have waffles. You can't have pastries. John, correct me or tell me. I'm not right, but you cannot have pastries. You cannot have chicken wings. You cannot drop Skittles into, you know, your mash. I mean, as far as when you're getting your recipe and all that approved, you can't have all of those things. You know, with the pictures and social media and all those things, that's hyped to hopefully socially influence you being intrigued in the product, but. Mm-hmm. That is something as far as a legality that you are you're not supposed to do. Can't do.
Why is that?
John?
Didn't you
take a course in this?
I took a course on law, but they didn't teach us about waffles and the mash.
So make up a law. They aren't exactly the most truthful with some of the facts that we share on the show.
Are we trying to prop up John to get like all hyped and just start just off the cuff lying?
You can put waffles in the mash. Yeah,
there,
sure. They're
go.
Falling
you
out
see?
Of my
Marco's
mouth.
Full
yeah,
of shit.
Go ahead.
Marco's full of shit. I learned since this day. He's full of shit. You can put all the waffles, all of the fucking waffles you want.
Put them in the mash recipe and send it to the TTB.
And see what they say.
Yeah.
There you go.
No waffles. Are they going to say no waffles?
I mean, imagine as long as there are ingredients to the waffles listed there. Because is the recipe going to the TTB or TTB, or is that going to the FDA or something like that?
Don't look at me.
It should be going to the TTB.
Okay.
To get your recipes certified, I guess.
Okay.
And I think that's only for distribution in cans.
So, John, were you at Streetside on Saturday?
I was not.
You should have been.
So, what were you doing instead?
Saturday. What was I doing? I was probably... I watched football, Navy, the Navy game, and then I went duck hunting.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Nintendo. I love it. So, that's great.
Well, I mean...
I was working. I could not be at socially influenced.
You were washing your hair. You spoke this out loud on the Weekly Pint.
Yes.
That's why you couldn't be there. I legitimately had a haircut, and I was still able to make it. So, come on, man.
Yeah, but I had to work after I washed my hair. I couldn't get out of it.
All right.
So, how many cans did you bring us
you
to
can
share
always get
today?
Out of work. Trust me. You just stop going.
Well, Gnome, I have a conversation I want to have with you about some things.
So speaking of going off the rails, kind of pulling back to Cincy Brewcast, there was a lot of good talk, I thought, about collaboration, how collaboration is important both between a brewery and its community and brewers. Between brewers and brewers, you get to learn a lot. You get to find out new potential techniques, new recipes, new ways of brewing beer that you might not have come across if you didn't have these different minds coming together at conferences or just through random visits.
more importantly, you get to just not work.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot. So, yes. Like, I'd have to say,
not working.
Like, if there was a collaboration at the place that John and I don't work at, John would be working so hard. I just want to say,
I
think Garrett danced around that for a little while on the show, but he did finally just say, look, it's just kind of a way to not do what you do.
Well. Yeah. Well, and. Yes, the product comes out, but yes, there is sharing of the craft and the way that you approach the craft, and so there's a lot of benefit to that, you know. So that comes there's definitely a net positive from an experience standpoint, whether it's a learned experience or whether it's just an enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. The best ones are when they're both, and then when the finished product really hits, right? So
yeah.
I'm not going to ask you how the beer tasted. I'm assuming it's great.
It's incredible.
It's very good.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you both for bringing some today.
Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't even buy a 4-pack, so sorry.
Shame.
Yeah, I know.
It is still available at Streetside for anybody who wants to go grab some.
Yes. Cool. All right, raining this bet. And all of these topics that I have written down could be entire episodes on their own, and I want to make sure that we still have time in the show to talk about shift beers. So we cannot go down too many rabbit holes with these, but two of the other big things that you guys talked about were, are they breweries or bars if they don't actually brew on site?
Bars.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thought. Call it a tap room, call it a bar, but even to me, I am not in the industry in any way, shape, or form. I just like to drink the product. If you say you're a brewery, even I know enough that if I go in and it's like you don't brew anything there, and root beer doesn't count, BJ's, I don't think...
Guess who was there last night?
I mean, nothing wrong with the place, but it's one of those, I mean, even I'm like, well, but if you're not brewing, this isn't a brewery. It's a brewery's tap room. It's a brewery's right.
There's a spectrum. There's a wide spectrum from brewery to bar, and there's lots of things in between there, be it a tap room or a brew pub, a production facility, there's lots of stuff there.
Yeah, Jason from Higher Gravity actually said once, because they have an in-house beer called Low G that Westside brews, prior to them having that, they would be asked all the time when people would come in, oh, what do you make here? What do you brew here? And he's like, yeah, we're not a brewery. That's not what we do. And that's what got them thinking, but what if we did have something, but it's not brewed there? So they don't now call it the Higher Gravity Brewery.
It's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm glad we're having it. Yeah.
I think Gnome had one of those podcasts before with the A1C permit breweries, and he talked about, is it a brewery? Is it not?
Yeah,
well, or is it in between?
Legally, isn't it?
Yeah, legally on paper, a place like BrewDog is a brewery. That's what their license is. It's an A1C. It's or an A1A. You know, it is a brewery, but they don't make a drop of beer in that building. Yeah. Right. Never have, never will. And I feel same like, for platform. You know,
I guess if they have it in the name, that's one thing. But if when you are, and this kind of leads into the second point that definitely ties into it. If when you are on site at one of these locations where it's, you know, the platform brewery, you know, OTR, whatever it might be, and they're not actually making something, oh, are you a brewery? Yes, we are. Yeah. Bullshit. If you're pretending about something like that, and this was my other note, if you're pretending you're a brewery when you're not brewing, what else are you pretending about as far as that space goes?
That's a great point.
And I don't know. If you say, yes, we are... you know, a part of the BrewDog brewery, the platform brewery, whatever, that's fine. But if someone asks you, are you a brewery? And you say yes, instead of saying we're a tap room for the brewery, that's where I feel like, again, it's just transparency to the consumer.
I agree. And I think I want to play that out to a conversation that we've had over the past couple of weeks with the contract canning, right?
Sure.
It's like just tell us. Just be real.
Right.
I don't think anybody who's going to...
Celebrate it. Embrace the community side of it.
Yeah, I really... The transparency is something that I don't think is going to be a negative impact in any way.
Right. You know,
if somebody's going to go to a place that doesn't brew a drop of beer, but has exclusively nothing but that brewery's beer on... Well, then that's fine.
Right.
They're not, most of the time, they're not going to not choose to go there.
There's what I was going to say, and apologies for stepping over you a minute ago.
Except
there's going to be that 1% that is going to walk in and say, oh, you're a brewery. Do you brew here? And they'll say no. And they're like, well, I'm not staying. And they'll walk out. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's probably a real thing.
Well, I'm sure that there is someone. That's why I said, like, there's probably a 1%. There's probably one random person out there that is going to be so...
And all of his friends that he's with are be like, dude, cut it out.
Sit down and just get a beer, and he'll be like, okay. Right, like, exactly.
I really don't think you're going to ever see a party walk in and be like, hey, you guys make this here? And they say no, and then they turn around and walk out. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't either. I think there may be some individuals that are a little too high on their horses to be like, no, I only drink at...
I'll huff and puff over that beer a little bit when I find out it's not made there, if they were dishonest to me about it. But
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like to collect breweries on my Untappd, so I have like 80 that I like to visit, and I just like check off when I visit new breweries.
So if you went to somewhere like Platform OTR, let's just use that as the example, would you...
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm not sure what happened to the soundboard here, just like weird things, buttons.
It's weird.
Would you consider that a brewery to check off your list? And I know that, again, it's kind of a gray area. It's kind of a weird, but just, this is more curiosity, not to try to drive any type of argument or anything like that. Would you consider that a brewery to check off your list?
I don't know. They're from Scotland. Aren't they from Scotland? So I feel like
Cleveland. BrewDog is from
Platform from South America.
Platform's ABN Bev.
South America.
San Paulo.
I don't know. That's a hard question because, like, I know they brew beer within the state or very close from location. Sure. Yeah. So I guess.
Nice. But,
I don't know. It's a hard question.
It is.
They don't have any stainless, so I
was lucky enough when...
Well, do you have an answer, or are you just going to hedge?
I would probably...
Just edge, that's fine.
Yeah, I would probably...
Yeah, I mean, you can...
I guess I would put it on there just to say, oh, yeah, I've been to one of their locations.
Okay,
but, like, in reality, I still want to go to where they actually brew the beer and get the freshest beer I can.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky when visiting Cleveland a couple times for work. Went to the original Platform location, and a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be, and not many beers on tap like I thought there were going to be, but it was still nice to actually see all the equipment, all the stainless steel right behind the bar, and to have some stuff that they will never distribute that we will never see here in Cincinnati.
Oh,
that was crispy.
All right, so John, since we have these beers just hanging out on the table.
Getting to the perfect room temperature.
I went ahead and cracked a Fretboard Bright Side of Life, which is a session IPA. And John and I are going to split this can because we're homies like that.
Yeah. And Noam and I are both kind of slower drinkers. So once we finish this, we'll be doing the same. But was there anything else about Cincy Brewcast that we wanted to go over? I know that it was a... They're always really good episodes. It was a lot of really, really great conversation, even if the topic wasn't 100% of what you wanted
I enjoy those shows a lot sometimes to kind of get away from a specific conversation, just kind of let it happen. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how the show started with Cincy Brewcast. You know, it's had us sitting around a table, bringing a cooler full of beer and just start talking. And wherever that conversation goes, it goes. So I enjoy going back to that sometimes.
Good. We enjoyed listening.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Can I have my truth?
Yes, sir.
I liked the episode. Didn't talk about the beer, but towards the end. So you have to keep on listening. That's a good marketing strategy on your part.
Yeah. Very conscious.
And Noam did drop a bit of a bombshell on Platform. We'll be opening their new location in Street Side's basement.
It's true. Yeah.
Or at Bad Tom's basement.
Or in Bad Tom's basement.
Oh, Lord. There's a little deep dive for the weekly pint listeners.
Yes. Woo!
But I like the conversation about other breweries that you guys talked about, the newcomers coming into Cincinnati, big owners, and the inside of the industry all in itself. I really enjoyed the episode.
Good. Like I said, a lot of really, really good conversation, a lot of good insight about, again, not to drag this segment on too much farther, but the whole, if they're willing to invest in the community, if it's a big beer owner and they're going to invest in the community and not just say we have a ton of money, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Not just we have a ton of money, we're going to put a building here and have nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, very good. I like that point.
Cheers on you, buddy.
Yeah.
So let's take...
Speaking of shit show shows.
Yeah. let's take a pause and then come back, and we will collect ourselves and dig into shift beers.
Yes. Are there different flavors of this?
Yeah, I brought two. Ooh, okay. I think I have watermelon and cherry.
All right.
Those are my nicknames in high school.
Okay. Do we want to keep
I should have saved that for the show.
I mean, you can say it again.
Yeah, none of us will laugh, though. Oh, heard that one before.
Right. Fucking guy.
Keep talking.
And thank you, everyone, for sticking with us through the extremely short break on your end as we cut out all the, you know,
nonsense
shenanigans that happen here on a beer podcast when you have guests and, you know,
it's
there's
been
beer.
3 days.
Yes.
We're still here. I actually have, like, people can see actual facial hair on me. It's weird.
I know. I didn't think you could grow any. It's pretty impressive.
I know. I know. It was one of my gifts. I thought it was just like, I just meditate and suppress facial hair. But anyways, we're back and we're going to talk about Shift Beers. Shift Beers did come out on social media and apologize that their show did not, their episode did not come out on Monday morning as expected. They are very, very busy at the place they don't work at, and they sound very exhausted as they come together for an episode that has Josh, who is social media and marketing, Beth, who does graphic design, and then this other person, Brian.
He's a button.
Brian's button. He tells you he's a brewer and distiller. And if you're a brewer, I'd like to have a canned beer.
We learned last week on this show that Chris, and I assume everybody, just calls him by his desired profession, fisherman.
Fisherman.
He wants to be a fisherman.
Yeah, he wants to be a fisherman.
And that, I thought that was very strange. It's something that I was curious that they had never talked about before on the show.
Right. Yeah. It's true. It's something that every now and then they kind of slip and let their real lives infiltrate the show a bit. And I think that was one of those moments because someone even said, oh, you said his profession. You said what this, you know, what he is actually supposed to be doing.
It's really strange for Button Brian because we all know he's not only allergic to bananas, he's also allergic to trout. So why he would be a fisherman is just very strange to me. But
it's also, there's a thing. Can he just not eat fish, but he can touch them? Because, I mean, I guess if you're a fisherman, you would have to touch the fish, but
you probably
don't
eat them too.
Because
like,
eat them. I mean, right? I understand.
I guess you could pack a lunch while you're fishing instead of eating the fish. I don't know. We have to ask Button Brian.
I'm not eating anything that's coming from Ohio.
He catches crawdads mostly.
No.
Do you want to take a couple of minutes and just recap your experience with Button Brian going through the Cincinnati State program?
Yeah, he's kind of a quiet guy. Kept to himself. Studied a lot. He.
Has tattoos on his hands.
Yeah, we didn't really talk a whole bunch in school. We just focused on class, so.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I know him.
So basically, he still doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's possible he's still.
Yeah, it's just a hologram.
Still just a button, All right.
So they did drinking, and he went to some sort of distilling.
Did
bullshit.
They do drinking because the button didn't
the
get
button
hit
didn't,
until later?
It's very, very.
I do want to apologize to them for the hard coffee not having any caffeine in it. I didn't even think to check. And they're like, "Oh, we're tired. We're gonna drink some coffee with alcohol, and no caffeine." So
have we confirmed that it actually does not have caffeine?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
It's like, hold on a second, so, you. Yeah, okay, I think there is, John.
John,
you know, beer
tell
law.
Us. Tell us.
You know, since you just came out of school, I know they can't say that it has caffeine in it.
This was perhaps
PBR hard coffee mix pack.
It has 35 milligrams of caffeine per can.
Okay,
making it about as strong as a third of a cup of coffee.
That's not too bad.
Less than that if you drink Death Wish.
Oh. Yeah, some other company ruined that for the beer industry.
Yeah, so I actually had a whole thing, because I remember when the shit with Four Loko went down, and they had caffeine. I think they had almost 500 milligrams
of
caffeine.
Yeah, they had a lot of caffeine.
It was a lot. And what Josh was saying, to kind of jump into kind of the middle-ish of the episode, was they had to take it out because people were drinking it and getting stupid, which is true.
Yeah.
But it's not. Absolutely.
They turned into zombies is what happened. Guys.
Right, but what
they passed out and just kept walking.
And they just kept going.
Rose from the dead.
Right.
Just got to hit them in the head.
And
their brains.
Do the double tap, and it's just, I mean, it just got messy. It got really messy. But yeah, back in 2010, the effects of caffeine kind of counter the effects of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So people would be drinking. It was like the whole Red Bull and vodka kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just drink more than what you should. Because you can't tell how drunk you're getting. So alcohol poisoning and people being more stupid than they would have been otherwise.
I assume what's happening here is on your ingredients label, if you put coffee in there, you can say that you put coffee in there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say that coffee includes caffeine because it's coffee, I assume.
Versus
something like Coke where they're adding caffeine into it. I assume it's something along those lines.
I guess you could do decaf if you really wanted to.
Or maybe if it's under a certain amount of caffeine, they don't necessarily have to disclose it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good point. I mean, you're the recent graduate. I mean,
shouldn't you know these things?
I probably should. I'm probably going to get yelled at by Cincinnati State for not knowing this. So
yeah, because they're
thanks guys.
because they're supporters of the show.
They
send money to through coffee. So thank you, Cincinnati State.
So Shift Beers had me doing a lot of extra work this episode.
Well,
they wanted fact checks.
Yes.
On a whole lot of shit. So, Beth, for you, yes, there was a Jackie O's Peach Sour on the show, because they were a little like, didn't we have one of these? It was episode 49, the Oktoberfest episode, that aired on September the 12th. Josh brought as a bonus beer Jackie O's Dynamo Fuzz, which Brian said was his butt cheeks nickname, as one, and it's a peach sour aged in wine barrels. So, when you guys call me out on this kind of stuff, I feel obligated to go back and try to find if it actually happened or not.
Right.
Boom roasted.
But I will say I did not find in my notes any episodes about the Guinness cold brew nitro that they had, but I'm pretty sure
I
they
remember
had it on
it.
The show because they talked about the widget inside. I think that was pre-Truth Beer Pod. I think
Possibly.
They had it on an episode that was before any of this ever existed, so I was not able to fact check that one.
Unfortunately, I keep very detailed notes on all the things that I've drank on my show. I don't keep it on Shift Beers, but I feel like not only did they drink the Guinness, I still feel like they drank that Little Fish beer, too. I really feel like that.
Yeah, they did. The one that Lee brought, I went back and checked that as well.
The Cleft? Little Fish,
it was not Cleft.
See,
it was
I feel
not
like they drank Cleft.
I want to say they did, too, but I couldn't find that in my notes, but they mentioned that Lee brought a Little Fish beer, and they were pretty certain that was the peach one.
I was
but
there.
But what Lee had brought from episode 55, because, again, you guys are making me re-listen to your episodes. You are welcome for the extra download.
Right.
Breakman's Cuvée, which had apricots, not peaches.
Ah, that could
so
be
I
the
could
confusion.
See where,
and it
where
was Bussin' Bussin'.
It was Bussin'
Bussin', boom roasted.
Let's see what else.
We all know that the more downloads you get on your podcast, the International Podcast Association sends you money in the mail. And you just get paid for every download. That's the way it works.
So if Josh and my mom and Rachel and Marco, your mom, could just kind of, you know, delete and re-download and delete and re-download.
That is the way this works.
That's the way. And
it is the way.
We are the number one podcast in Canada that talks about Cincinnati craft beer podcast.
Yep, we are.
You are probably the number one podcast in a lot of countries that talks about Cincinnati podcasts.
It's true.
Yeah.
I've only gotten an email from Canada about it, though. So.
Yeah, but if you find one that you have one listener in, like, the Ukraine or something, you're probably right there, too.
Yeah, we're there.
This is very, very true.
Go ahead, John.
I posted something over, I think it was last week.
In Honduras?
What?
No, go ahead.
I posted about the Spotify recap.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were number four.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
nice.
That is appreciated.
And then I had Shift Beers and then Kid Chris.
Okay.
He's from Cincinnati.
Yep.
And then, like, Joe Rogan. And I think I had your show on there, too.
I was just about to say, there's someone missing from this conversation.
It's all right. I try to keep my podcast all Cincinnati-based.
Yeah. All right.
Except for Joe Rogan.
Except for Joe.
Yeah.
Shift Beers, they were incredibly tired. They were incredibly exhausted, which, is to be expected from what they have to do at the end of the year. So they kind of kept apologizing. They felt like the show, I will be honest, it did not have the same energy that it normally does. but they still were making an incredibly hard effort to give us a good show. They drank the PBR, or the hard coffees. They drank the Guinness Nitro Cold Brew. And then they kind of ran into bonus beers after smashing a whole bunch of buttons just...
Yeah. And Chris called in to have them flick a light switch or something.
Yeah, yeah. Can you turn on the light in my office? And they're like, okay. So I don't know what... Maybe that's what turns on the seltzer production.
Could be.
There's a switch in Chris's office for some reason.
Could be. I appreciate them wanting to put out the content, and I appreciate that they took the time and did it. And thank you, and just want you to know that no excuses. No excuses 22. Hashtag no excuses 22.
So last week they played their little trick on you of trying to edit out all of the burps.
Yes.
You know that at some point we're all going to get together and we're going to play a joke where none of us put out a podcast 1 week. So you guys just kind of have to sit here and talk about the lack of podcasts.
Oh, we are ready.
We've talked about this before. We have talked about this before.
Yes.
We are.
We're not the dullest tool in the toolbox, buddy.
What happens if we spread it to like a month?
Oh God.
then we might be running into some problems.
That's okay. Look, Tuesdays, Julia and I are going to be here. Something's getting out. All right.
If nothing else, if it's just drinking and rambling.
Right.
So be it.
Or me talking about my Duluth Trading brand new underwear.
Yes. That was, I should have recorded that because the whole conversation about the Duluth Trading boxers was enlightening for someone who doesn't wear.
Oh, new sponsor of the show, Duluth Trading.
Aren't they probably like way overpriced though?
Oh, yeah. I bought Josh.
Oh, hold on a second.
Holy crap.
Can they actually be overpriced? Is the real question.
I've never worn them. I couldn't tell you.
Well, then.
You need to try them.
Yeah.
Are they made out of a fire hose like their pants are or whatever?
No.
It doesn't sound comfortable.
No. So, look, truly appreciate that you got together and put out an episode. Chris made, like we said, a little appearance in the beginning. Thank you. Anything else stick out other than the fact that they dive into chugging beers, they burp, towards the end, and, it's them wedging in an episode in between everything else that they have going on.
Right.
They're extremely busy, and I appreciate it. Of course, we're going to go over the burp camp, though.
We are, but before that, I do want to say that we finally got another Josh's Twisted Tea tip
in this episode, which
was funny. In the beginning of the episode, when Beth was saying, there was a Jackie O's, Julia can, find this in your notes. I actually have written down, as I was flipping through my notes, the last Twisted Tea tip was in episode 52. But then as I flipped my notebook to page 2 of my notes on Shift Beers for this week, Josh threw down a Twisted Tea tip, which this week was, don't waste your time waiting for a flight of 4 small beers. Just go for 4 big beers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and drink them all at room temperature, like what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a flex. I mean, that's definitely a flex.
Oh yeah,
John, have you ever done that?
Have a flight?
Of course.
Yeah. I don't get 4 beers. I'm a small guy. I'm immediately drunk just thinking about that.
So you're playing safe. That's fair. Oh, Jesus.
Order 4 beers.
I guess other than the burp count, there wasn't a ton on, I don't want to say there wasn't a ton to talk about on this episode because it was all really good stuff, but I just have like little tidbit notes that I wrote down about this episode. One of them being, we finally got a Josh's Twisted Tea tip. One of them being, it's funny because they were talking about the Newbert Report. I watched it on YouTube when it came out, the completely off the rails episode where they were talking about the coldest, does Ohio really get that cold? Mm-hmm. I posted a comment on the Newbert Report's Facebook or YouTube video talking about, Ohio's coldest day on record was -39 degrees in 1899, so I beat them on that one. who's a true fan. And holy shit, they know about the Curse of Oak Island. That is a Bobby Dazzler if ever I have seen one.
All right. John, anything?
Yeah, I have a question for everyone at this table.
Yes.
Is it caramel or caramel?
Oh, that's true.
It's caramel.
Okay.
This
is Ohio. It's caramel.
I really feel this is one of those shapeshifter sort of things. I think it's one thing in one situation and another now. Don't at me. I don't need that.
Yeah, we do.
At Marco, you're wrong. It's caramel.
I have said caramel before, but 99% of the time it's caramel.
I can't think of an instance where I said caramel, except for that one.
Well, I default to caramel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where I default.
What are the instances where you use the other one?
If I'm ordering my wife's Starbucks drink, I say I need a caramel macchiato.
It's a caramel macchiato. Why are you saying it wrong?
Yeah, come on.
I just, you know, it's what I do.
Yeah. It's very similar to the Caribbean thing, yeah, where I always say Caribbean, except when I'm talking about the pirates.
Yep.
Then it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
And I can't figure out why. Why that one instance?
They have a really good marketing program down there.
Is it Louisville? Louisville? How do you say
Louisville.
That?
Louisville.
Yeah, I get yelled at for pronouncing that wrong all the time. So
I guess kind of wrapping up the shift beers segment, we do have the burp count. So, Marco, do you want to go over what the rules of the burp count game? Well, I don't want to say rules, but what the burp count is, what it embodies.
So, is it Caribbean Queen or Caribbean Queen by Billy Ocean?
Ooh.
I don't really know that song.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that song. Shit.
What year did that come out?
What do you mean, what year did it come out?
I'm asking what year that came out.
Well, you can find it at, I mean, do you want me to access it right now at any point.
To Google right now?
With the internet, does it matter when a song came out? I know what you're talking about.
I think there's some law where I can't play this whole thing.
Nobody's going to stop you. It's the internet. Yeah. I mean, if you start posting it on YouTube, you might get hit.
Awesome.
It's not either. It's Caribbean. That's what it is.
So for the record, when I was an infant and that song came out, I did not pronounce it anything.
You didn't pronounce it at all?
Didn't pronounce it at all.
Okay. I mean, fair enough.
If you had sent me that song,
yeah,
and then Julia had asked me, what song did Marco send you? I would have said, it's the Caribbean Queen.
Okay.
It's Caribbean Queen.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not Caribbean, though.
No, it's not Caribbean.
He can't find the right spot.
I've heard the song.
I do know that song now that you play it. Didn't know that's what it
I didn't
was.
Know the name, but
like you've heard
once you start singing, you kind of know it.
Oh shit! All right, the burp count, Marco.
Where are we at, Julia?
The burp count.
The burp count. So
it's all beer pay. Everybody is how it's pronounced. Beer pay count.
So to everybody who's been with us, thank you for sticking with us. For those of you who are new, let me explain the burp count drinking game. So what it is you play this with shift beers, and we let you know, if you listen to us first, we let you know how many beers you should be, should have on the ready. We could have taken a bunch of different things in shift beers. There's a bunch of different sort of repeat things that happen, but the one thing that we took and made a drinking game out of is how many times you can hear an audible burp. And the average drink of any liquid is about 2 ounces. So we count the audible burps and then we let you know how many there are, and we do the math and let you know how many 16 ounce, how many pints, not 12 ounce, but how many pints you would drink playing the drinking game through a shift beers episode.
So when Shift Beers is not editing out burps, which I'm sure they probably cut a couple out of this episode, though I don't know. You know, Jangle sounded tired enough to wear.
Yeah, I doubt he cut anything out.
Probably did. No. So in this episode, they had a total of 22 burps, which is 44 ounces. You would have drinkified. There
drinkified.
We go. I like that.
I like it.
2.75 pints of whatever liquid you chose during episode 62 of Shift Beers.
It's respectable. I mean, depending on how how long the episode was, but I think
it was
okay.
A little shorter too.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was about 50 minutes or so, and yeah, it's a little bit shorter than a regular show. Regular show is about an hour, 10 hour, 20, but.
But we really appreciate that they made the effort to try to get something out there, considering how busy they are, how tired they were.
I'll never shit on anybody for being tired and not being able to get episodes done the way they want to.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree, and thank you very much for that. I don't know.
Was there anything else on Shift Beers or any of the other Cincinnati beer podcasts that we wanted to bring up before we wrap up today's episode?
No, shout out to all these folks for, including you guys, for cranking out content on a regular basis. We all know how difficult it can be some weeks to make that happen. But today is my oldest daughter's bar mitzvah. I skipped it. Look, I guess girls don't do that. I messed up the joke.
I'll edit this. Bat mitzvah.
Her bat mitzvah. And I told her she would have to just get over it because daddy's got to go drink beer.
She'll have more, right?
I'm excited.
She'll have a couple more.
Sure.
I think do it every 13 years or something.
So what we can't do is we can't end the show cheers with empty glasses. So
plastic empty glasses.
I just cracked a Happy Dad seltzer that John brought, and I think we're passing this around the table, getting ourselves together, and I just want everyone to know that we truly appreciate your listenership, your patronage. I get in participate with us and participate in the sense that you listen, you like, you share, you download, you talk about it with your friends, you talk about it with your family when you get together at Christmas or the holiday coming up. And then, support us if you can. And, you know, do that, the KO-FI stuff that we were talking about earlier.
It'll be in the show notes.
And then...
I was going to get that as the outro music.
And
why not?
I truly appreciate it, and we have a blast doing this, so we're going to keep on doing it. And
in addition to that, huge thank you to John and to Gnome for joining us today for this episode. It's always a great time having friends on the show, and this
is
no exception.
It sure is. And, hey, Julia, what are you doing next Tuesday?
I think I'm going to be here at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery drinking some beers with you, talking about some Cincinnati craft beer podcasts.
Thank you, Noam. Thank you, John. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Ching.
Ching. Ching.
Ching.
Ching. Ching.
This is really good seltzer. Shout out.